Today's passage is from 2 Corinthians 5:16. So then, from now on, we acknowledge no one from an outward human point of view. Even though we have known Christ from such a human point of view, now we don't know him that way any longer. So then, if anyone in Christ, he is a new creation. And what is old has passed away. Look, what is new has come. And all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and who has given us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's trespasses against them. And he has given us the message of reconciliation, the word of the Lord.
Good morning. It is very good to be back with all of you this morning. I bring you greetings from Tolomas, Hungary. The 2 weeks that I had in Hungary were wonderful, and I appreciate all of you showing me the grace and allowing me to go and spend time with those students. So there were 17 students, and they were from Brazil, Hungary, Ukraine, Japan. They'll be angry at me because I'm forgetting countries. Colombia, Canada, that counts, and the United States. So it was a wide variety of students, and it was so fun learning from them and from their different perspectives as we spent 2 weeks together going through the course material. And I don't know if any of them are masochists enough to tune in to our live stream to listen to this sermon this morning, but if they are, this group of students, I've been doing this for close to 8 years now, this group of students scored higher on their final exams than any other group of students that I've had in Hungary. So let's give them a round of applause. But it is very good to be home and to sleep in my own bed, to be with my family, to be with all of you. I preached at a church in Hungary while I was gone, and they didn't have my earpiece. And so I had to hold a microphone in my hand, and I felt muted because I couldn't move around. I had a Bible in one, and I had the microphone in the other. Working with a translator made my 40-minute sermon much shorter. So now, thankfully, I have a good 2 hours that I can spend with you this morning on this sermon. So my opening illustration was going to be from the hit TV show Severance, and it was a really good one. But then I realized some of you have not yet seen it, or you are watching it right now and you're not current, and my illustration would have many spoilers. And if ever there was a reason to abandon a church, it would be that. So I'm going back to 1976, and if you are being spoiled by this reference, that is not my fault. Star Wars. Every good sermon has to have a Star Wars reference. So you remember the scene. Luke has the emperor standing behind him, giving him, speaking into his ear, embrace the dark side. That's it. Let your anger take over as Luke is fighting Darth Vader. The entire epoch thus far has painted Darth Vader to be the consummate villain. There is nothing good whatsoever about this character. And Luke is fighting, and his rage is rising up. And then there's the reveal. This is the spoiler. Luke, I am your father. In that moment, everything changed. Luke suddenly had a new set of lenses, a new perspective. And as the series progresses, we see Anakin Skywalker humanized, kind of, when that helmet is taken off and he's fading away. Luke had a moment where everything he thought he knew, everything that he was fighting for, everything he was fighting against, shifted. And as we look at our passage this morning, we're going to see the same thing happens to us. Or at least, the same thing should happen to us. See, the reality is, every single one of us goes through life wearing glasses. Even those of you with 20/20 vision, you have a set of lenses that you see the world through. And you cannot take those lenses off. Those lenses define the way you interpret the news. Those lenses define the way that you interpret relationships. But with the power of the gospel, there's a shift. And you see something for the first time in a new way, and nothing can be the same. So my prayer this morning as we go through this passage together is that we would see, no pun intended, how our perspectives need to shift. The passage starts off, verse 16, and I forgot my Bible, so forgive me for being digital. From now on, then, we do not know anyone from a worldly perspective. Even if we have known Christ from a worldly perspective, yet now we no longer know him in this way. Some of your translations have that rendered as according to the flesh. Paul viewed life and Christ and humanity through a certain set of lenses. But now, he cannot view anything that way anymore because everything has changed. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. In this sermon this morning, we're going to walk through this text, and we're going to see three changes. And the first change that we see is this one, a changed perception. A changed perception. Paul is able to see with new eyes because we are in Christ. We no longer view others or Christ the way that we used to. This way of viewing things according to the flesh, a worldly perspective through a worldly lens, one that's not informed by the Holy Spirit. That's how Christ was seen. And think about the Apostle Paul. How he saw Christ. He saw Jesus of Nazareth as a false teacher and as an enemy to the true faith of Judaism. And so he persecuted Christians. That was his lens. He saw Jesus as a dangerous upstart that must be stopped, and his followers must be stopped. And then he met Jesus. Face to face on that Damascus road, he met the risen Lord, and his vision quite literally changed. He was blinded by the encounter and in need of healing, but more importantly, his perspective changed. He no longer saw Jesus as that rebel upstart who was crucified on the cross because of his crimes. He saw him as the risen Lord and Messiah, and that changed everything for the Apostle Paul. And the same should be true for us. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, those of us who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, those of us who have been given new life, those of us who live in light of the truth of the gospel, more on that in a minute, we have a new perspective. We are a new creation. And that new creation means there's a total reorientation of the self and our perspective. I think about the story of, we've all experienced this. You've gone to the theater, whether it's to see a live show or to see a movie, and you're sitting there and you're watching the show and somebody behind you is talking. And they're just, there's this hum, this murmur behind you, and then it stops and your blood pressure goes back down. And then they start talking again. And you're thinking, okay, am I going to be that guy? Am I going to turn around? And then it stops. Okay. And then it picks up again. And so in this particular story, the person turns around and says, would you mind, I'm trying to watch the show, please be quiet. And the guy goes, oh, I'm so sorry. My wife is blind and I was just trying to describe what is on the stage. I'll try to keep it down. Oh. In that moment, the perspective changes. Now it's not the annoying person in the theater, it's you for being an insensitive cad. This shift of perspective is one we need to face when we're looking at those in the world around us. So here's my question. Who in your life are you viewing still, using Paul's language, according to the flesh, or with a worldly perspective? Who in your life have you thought, or maybe haven't thought at all, in regards to the gospel? That they haven't received it, they're not going to receive it, and you're not going to be an instrument for them receiving it. Who in your life do you see through a negative lens, and you're not willing to enter into a significant spiritual conversation with that person? I think we all have those lenses. We all have those people in our life. What would it look like if we allowed the gospel to reshape how we see those people? Several years ago, this is shortly following 9/11, I had a perspective when it came to Muslims. And it was one that was shaded by contemporary events and one that was not very kind. I viewed people who lived in that part of the world, the people who would identify as being Arab, well, they're all Muslim, they all have guns, and they all want to see us dead. That's what the news was telling me, and that's what I started to believe. Then, through a group that I was a part of called Toastmasters, if you're familiar with Toastmasters, there was a Muslim businessman in that group. And I got to know him through Toastmasters. And then he and I started going out for coffee together. And we started having significant conversations about our families and our hopes and our dreams. And he told me that he had a perception of Americans. They're all Christian. They all have guns. And they want all the Arabs to be dead. Both of us were looking at one another with distorted lenses. Who is it in your life that you see through a distorted lens? Let's pray that the gospel would enable us to reshift the way that we see them. Because after all, not only do we have a changed perspective, the text tells us the second change, a changed identity. We are called not just to be new creations, but to live as new creations. Let's turn back to the text, reading verse 17 and following again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. See, the new has come. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Do you hear it? Do you hear the call to responsibility? That we aren't allowed to simply lean back and rest in this reality that we are a new creation. We're called to do something. We're called to be something. This work of reconciliation that God has worked for us is now something we are called to participate in the lives of others. We can't sit idly by. Our new identity in Christ has given us a new mission. The ministry of reconciliation is now something that lays before us as a task that we need to enter into. Now, often, when I hear the gospel shared, there's an overemphasis on our responsibility. It's almost as though God wants you to be saved, but he can't do it without your help. He needs our help in order to effect salvation. That's not what this text says. It's pretty explicit. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ. God has done the work of reconciliation. It is done. It is perfect. It is sufficient. What we need to do is to receive it. To receive that which has already been done. To recognize the truth of what the Holy Spirit has worked in us. This is the beauty of the gospel. God is not dependent upon us to effect his will. We are dependent upon him for our very salvation. For the very next breath that we breathe, it's his. So God reconciled us to himself. He has done the work. And now he has called us to be ministers of reconciliation. Now, it would be easy to read this and see ministry and ministers and think, oh, good. So, Eric, that's what we pay you and Mike for. So you take care of that work. You take care of that job. Well, ministry here is not just for pastors. It's for every believer. And this reconciliation is vertical. It's between God and us. And God has accomplished that work. And now he has called us to be ministers of reconciliation horizontally. To bring people to a place where they are able to walk together in unity. Paul's theology of in Christ is both active and missional. It's not just a statement of being, it's a statement of how you be. And we need to be those who live in light of our new identity in Christ and serve as ministers of reconciliation. This new creation is not just personal, it's social, it's cosmic. And God has called us to be a part of this work. So again, a question. What would it look like to carry this ministry into our neighborhoods, into our workplaces, into our families? Is there a family member that you have given up on praying for? You're not having those spiritual conversations with them because you fear you will be shut down. What would it look like to reshape your view of them with the gospel? To see them as someone who's created in the image of God, worthy of dignity, value, and respect. Someone who God loves. Wouldn't you want to be a minister of reconciliation and share with them the message of hope? And then there's ministers of reconciliation within the body of Christ. Where is reconciliation most needed in your life? Where do you feel the disconnect, the interrupt between you and God? Are you holding a grudge against him? That doesn't seem like a safe thing to say, does it? I'm holding a grudge against God. I have good news for you. If you go to the Psalms, you see that in Scripture, we have the account of grudges being held against God. And you know what? God is big enough to handle our grudge. Let's be honest with it, and let's seek reconciliation. Where is there brokenness in your relationships, in your family, in the church, in the workplace, where you could be a minister of reconciliation? And if this is true, if we are going to affirm that this passage of Scripture that we are studying right now is saying something that is true, then we are ministers. But we also carry a public role. God has appointed us as ambassadors. And that takes us to the third change. We are to represent Christ as ambassadors. We are given a new calling. Verse 20. Therefore, why does he say therefore? Because of what we just read, these ministers of reconciliation. Going back further to verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 5, the message of the gospel, in light of the truth of the gospel. Because these things are true, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us. Have you ever thought of that before? God is making his appeal through us. We are to be men and women who are ambassadors for Christ, which means we are standing on the promises of the gospel, living out the claims of the gospel, and sharing the message of the gospel. God has chosen to work through us in spite of our sin, in spite of our brokenness, in spite of our fears, in spite of our weakness. God has chosen to work powerfully through us. We plead, the text says, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. There is a lot there. This is a rich text. And I can only touch on the beauty of this text. But we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Here's my message to you. If you remember nothing else from this morning, this is what I want you to remember. See others through the lens of Christ and step into the work of reconciliation. See others through the lens of Christ and step into the work of reconciliation. This language of ambassador, it implies authority. An ambassador in the ancient world and an ambassador today, when they are speaking on behalf of their sovereign. They're speaking on behalf of their king. And when that ambassador comes and that ambassador speaks with the very authority of the king who sent them. That ambassador has the ability to carry out the work of that king. And in this context, we are called to plead that message, be reconciled to God. We are called to have the authority of our king as ministers of reconciliation. That doesn't mean because we are Christians, we are ambassadors and we can speak to others as God and command them accordingly. Sometimes it might feel like that's what we'd like to do, but that's not the calling. We are ambassadors for this specific message, this specific purpose. We represent a different kingdom while living in the midst of this one. The gospel in one verse. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the message of reconciliation we are to proclaim. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, made flesh, fully God and fully man. And as man, Jesus never sinned. Never. Can you imagine a toddler that isn't selfish? Jesus never sinned. And he was aware of his sinlessness in his life. And we see it in the Gospel of John when he acknowledges that he alone would have the right to cast that first stone. He was sinless. He lived a perfect life. And then on the cross, God made he who had no sin, sin on our behalf. Now let's be careful. God did not make Jesus a sinner. That's not what the text says. God imputed upon the righteous one who had never sinned our sin. He became our sin. Every sin that we've ever committed, every sin that we are actively committing, every sin that we will ever commit, imputed upon him on the cross. And he became sin for us so that in him, we might become the righteousness of God. He alone walked on the earth as one who is perfectly righteous. And when he became sin on our behalf, his righteousness was imputed on us. So God, the Father, judged the sin that was resting upon the Son. And he looks upon us, and he sees us not as we are, sinful, lost, struggling, prideful creatures. He sees the righteousness of his Son. And praise God for that. So I've been speaking this morning so far as though every single one of us in this room are believers, regenerated by the Holy Spirit in Christ, as Paul is talking. But I recognize that that is not necessarily true of every single one of us in this room. So if this is not true of you right now, I want you to hear this gospel. Every single one of us is a rebel. You may not feel like a rebel, but there is rebellion in every single one of us. And that rebellion rears its ugly head in various ways throughout our life. None, the scriptures tell us, are without sin, except the perfect Son of God, incarnate in Jesus Christ. He took your sin so that you might be able to stand righteous before God because of his work, not yours. It's a great exchange. It's a beautiful gift. And there's nothing you need to do to earn this gift. That's the message of reconciliation. God reconciles you to him. Will you receive that? Will you acknowledge the beauty of what God has done? Will you acknowledge the brokenness of your own condition, the beauty of what the Son has done, and the hope that we have in the resurrection because of his work? This is the gospel. This is what drives the appeal for those of us who are in Christ. Because we have received this, we extend it to others. And this takes courage. This takes patience. This takes perseverance. I just recently heard a story about a woman in Tehran, a young woman who was taking a shower, and she heard a voice saying, "I alone can cleanse you of your sin." And she did not know where this was coming from. So she went to her imam at the mosque. And she said, I heard this voice, and I don't know what it means. Where is it coming from? Who is this voice? And the imam said, and this might be a surprise to some of us, but we need to remember that Muslims believe that Jesus was a great prophet. The imam said to her, "Oh, that was Jesus. He's the only prophet who uses language like that. That was Jesus." She goes, "Okay." And she goes home. She lives with her mother. Both of them faithful Muslims. Their sister left years ago and was living in the UK, and unbeknownst to them had become a Christian. And she had kept this a secret. And then one morning, this sister in the UK went to church, and this woman came up to her and said, "I'm so sorry. This has never happened to me before. I had a dream. I don't remember my dreams. I've never had a dream like this before, but in my dream, I saw it so clearly. You were sitting on a bed with a woman on either side of you, and you were sharing the gospel with those two women. You need to go home." And the woman said, "Oh, I don't know if that's something I can do. It's a very dangerous thing to be a Christian back home, and I don't know if I'm ready." And she said, "This dream was so real, my husband and I have already bought you a ticket. If you're willing, we've provided a way for you to go home." So she went home, and she knocked on the door, and her sister opened the door, and they greeted each other with a hug, and they were so happy to see each other. And the sister in the UK, from the UK, said, "I don't know why I'm here." And the younger sister said, "I do. You're supposed to tell me about this Jesus thing." And they sat down on the bed, daughter, mother, sister. And she was a minister of reconciliation. She shared the truth of the gospel despite the risk. And her mother and her sister came to faith that day. A beautiful truth. The gospel is powerful. And we are called, maybe not to risk our lives with the message of the gospel, but at the very least, to live out and speak the words when we have the opportunity to be ministers of reconciliation. Are we willing to let God make his appeal through us? This is convicting for me. I am preaching beyond my obedience right now. I have to ask the question, where am I currently silent? Where am I currently disengaged or reluctant to represent Christ? Where is that true for you? Where are you silent, disengaged, reluctant? This text this morning is calling us to see others through the lens of Christ and to step into the work of reconciliation. We need to learn to recognize that we're all wearing these glasses. And we need to learn to recognize where they distort reality and submit that to the Holy Spirit and pray that we would be able to see others as the gospel would have us see them, as men and women who are in desperate need of a Savior. Take the time to reflect. This is Lent. This is a season of reflection and repentance. I'm speaking to myself right now as well. Where have I withheld the ministry of reconciliation? Where have you withheld the ministry of reconciliation? We need to repent of that and ask ourselves the question, who might God be calling me to reach out to reconcile with, to represent Christ to? Maybe a name has come to mind even as I've been talking. And if that's the case, I want you to write that down. If you actually have pen and paper, do that. Otherwise, type it into your phone. Text yourself that name. Do something with that name so it's more than just a fleeting thought. And then pray about that person and pray that God would give you the opportunity to do the hard thing and to be an ambassador for Christ, to be a minister of reconciliation. Let's take a moment in silent reflection and pray that the Holy Spirit might bring to mind that person or those persons with whom we are to reconcile or to whom we are called to give the message of reconciliation to. Let's be still for a moment. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for the precious gift of the gospel. This reality that you have reconciled us. I pray that you would help us to live in light of the beauty of this message and that we would answer the call, that we would be peacemakers, that we would be ambassadors of Christ and ministers of reconciliation. I pray for all those names that came to mind as we were reflecting just now. I pray for healing in relationships. And for those who came to mind who do not know you, I pray that you would give us the courage to be ministers of reconciliation, to share the truth of what you have given us and why we feel called to give the message to others. And may your Spirit powerfully work, bringing those who are in desperate need of a Savior into communion with you, because we recognize Every single one of us daily remains in desperate need of a Savior. So we thank you that we have him in Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.